The reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 10 to 18, and is on page 1063 in the Pew Bibles. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's a strange time of year, isn't it? This bit between Christmas and New Year and things like that. And it's really hard to know what day of the week it is. So I'm really glad that it's a Sunday today, because we're all in church and it sort of fixes it in our mind, doesn't it? Because every other day just seems the same as things else like that. So it's nice that we've actually had a proper Sunday and we're all here together. So that's really good. And we're still in the Christmas season. So we're very much a Christmas festive message for us this morning. But before we go any further, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this special time of year, this time of celebration, when we celebrate all that you have done for us, sending Jesus as that baby in Bethlehem to be the Saviour of the world. And as we unpack some of these truths from this reading this morning, please speak them deep into our hearts, that we may leave as changed people, having met with you. Amen. We're still in the Christmas season. It was interesting. Yesterday I met somebody in town. I hadn't seen her for a while. And she said, "Oh, happy Christmas." And I thought, can you still say happy Christmas? Christmas was a few days ago. But of course you can, because we're in the Christmas season. To us here in church, this is the time of Christmas. And the Christmas season and the celebrations are not just for one day. We celebrate up until our next season, which begins with Epiphany. And we're going to be looking at that passage in John's Gospel, which you may have still open in front of you, page 1063. And to help us, I brought with me today my Christmas stocking. And I was amazed as I unpacked all of the things in my Christmas stocking this year, that they all fitted exactly with this little passage. Isn't that amazing? So I thought I'd bring it with you and share them all with you, and that will help you remember the main points of the talk today. And of course, for those of you with a sensitive disposition, I have to warn you that some bad puns will be used in today's sermon. And we begin with something that we often overlook at this time of year. When we're thinking about Jesus as that baby in Bethlehem, we forget that actually Jesus was there at the beginning of everything. Verse 10 here, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world was made through him. Now, the first thing, of course, in any Christmas stocking, I'm sure you get this as well, is, of course, an orange. And why do we put an orange in? Well, it reminds us that Jesus is there at the origin of the world. He didn't suddenly come into existence when he was born in Bethlehem of Mary. And that passage reminds us of that. He is the agent of creation, the pre-existent one. When you think that he would have observed all of mankind's mistakes and sins down through the years, when he watched the people of Israel in the Old Testament continually stray, it's incredible he would choose to be born as one of us. The Bible commentator Jeff Lucas comments, trying to get our minds around this requires faith because the enormity and human impossibility of it is almost too much to take in. God becoming an embryo. But as Mary was to discover with God, all things are possible. That's what we learn from the first verse. Jesus is there at the origin of everything. Verses 11 to 13. We can see, verses 11 to 13, Jesus came as Redeemer. And my next present that I unwrapped is a gift voucher. A very nice one from Ultra Comida. Thank you to the person who bought me this. Why bring a voucher? Well, according to the terms and conditions, if you look at the terms and conditions of this voucher, it's redeemable on request. Jesus came to be our Saviour, and that, because of that, that description applies to us today. You know, we are redeemable on request. Verses 12 and 13 here. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born of God. Redeemable on request. To use this voucher, I need to go to the shop and I need to ask for redemption of it. Jesus came so those who believe in him can be redeemed. Like this voucher, it doesn't happen automatically. You have to go and ask for it. We have to humble ourselves, go to God, ask for his forgiveness for all that we've done wrong, and ask for the redeeming power of Jesus. I haven't checked on this one itself, but I know that some vouchers, I don't think this one does, some vouchers have an expiry date and it says you must redeem it before this date. Well, there's no best before or expiry date on the offer of redemption by God, apart from, of course, our own expiry. We must be redeemed before we ourselves expire. So this voucher in my stocking reminds us that thanks to Jesus, thanks to him coming to be our Saviour, we are redeemable on request. And verse 14 carries on the theme of Jesus coming to us and revealing God, which brings me to my next present. You can see this is rather nice aftershave. And it reminds us that Jesus was sent to us to reveal the glory of God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. This Christmas, that's what we're celebrating. That amazing fact that Jesus was sent into this world. He was fully God, fully human. This sent here, it's a particular one actually, it's called Autograph. It's very nice, I can recommend it. And it reminds me of a very, very special gift I had when I was a teacher many years ago in Plascreek. As a leaving present, one of the boys in my class presented me with autographs of famous cricketers that had been framed and put nice. He knew I liked cricket and I thanked him very much for them. His mother explaining why he'd chosen them to give to me. She said, well, these are the most precious thing he owns and he wants you to have them. It was all very moving. And it reminds me, Jesus was the most precious thing that the Father had. And he wanted us to have him. And he sent him to our world, to this world here, where we live, to us. John reminds us two chapters later, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So that aftershave, it reminds me, Jesus was sent sent to earth to be our Saviour. Next, we note in this passage here, the coming of Jesus, it was earth-shattering, but it wasn't entirely unexpected. In fact, it was long awaited. Prophets had predicted this in the days of the Old Testament. God had promised a Saviour to be born to us. The next present in the stocking reminds us that his ministry had been widely anticipated. Before his adult public ministry began, we've already read in this bit, John the Baptist began preparing the people. Our next gift reminds us that John had been preparing the way, and there were whispers that a very special time was approaching. A new era was beginning. The next section outlined in verse 15 talks about the testimony of John the Baptist. "He who comes after me," says John, "has surpassed me because he was before me." John knew of the pre-existence of Jesus. He knew that this was God's anointed one. It wasn't much of a whisper now. It was shouted out, and John declared it openly. "This is the one, folks, the one we've all been waiting for." And John wasn't a lone voice. Before him, of course, there were the Old Testament prophets, 300 different prophecies about Jesus, telling us where he'd be born, who he'd be related to, how he'd die, about his resurrection, telling us what his death would achieve. And that whisper there reminds us that Jesus was the fulfillment of a great plan. Prophecies and proclamations all been fulfilled in Jesus. As I looked at my whisper bar in preparation for the sermon today, I realised that actually it also reminded me about church. The church here. Why does it remind me about the church? Well, it got a little message on it. It says, "Warning, may contain nuts." And for some reason that reminded me of the church here today. I'm not quite sure why. We're nearly through our passage. There are a few verses still to look at, and a couple of presents still in the stocking here. What else? What else do you think I got for Christmas? What do men get for Christmas? Yeah, socks. Which is really nice, isn't it? These are very nice. Nice socks from Marks and Spencer's, more or less. But have you noticed that Christmas is a time, isn't it, for giving socks? Have you noticed that socks given to women, they're all brightly coloured. They're Christmassy and they've got stars and things like that. And the packet of socks that us men get are just full of greys. Wait a minute. Full of grace. Verse 14 here. Jesus was full of grace. Full of grace and truth. It's expanded in verses 16 and 17. "From the fullness of his grace, we've received one blessing after another." Isn't that amazing? One blessing after another. I've been thinking about this verse. "From the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another." That amazing blessing after blessing. Just from today's short passage, we're reminded we've been redeemed. We've become children of God. We've received a Saviour and we're given one blessing after another. Sometimes we can be so ungrateful about blessings. God blesses us again and again and we forget to say thank you. We forget to give him our praise and thanks. Because many of my family live away, what happens, and I guess it happens in your home as well, is you have several Christmases. You have Christmas and Christmas Day, and the small close family give presents, and then some other relatives come Boxing Day, and you have another mini Christmas when you exchange presents, and then a couple of days later, you have yet another Christmas. And sometimes by the end of it, it gets a bit tiresome, doesn't it? Thinking, oh, no, not more presents to open, not more presents. And you get a bit ungrateful before it all happening. It can be the same in our Christian lives too. We think, oh, not quite, not more blessings, but we start to take them all for granted and we stop becoming thankful. We need to have thankful hearts for all that God is doing among us and give him thanks and praise. Hebrews 12:28 reminds us, "Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." Let us be thankful. Grace is unmerited favour. We don't deserve salvation. But verse 17 says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We want to thank him and praise him today. Got one verse to go and one present left. I put this to a card so I didn't lose it in the bottom of there. Some money. Some shiny money. As a small child, my grandmother would always save shiny bits of money. They were very special and give them to us. And right till I was a bit older, we still had money in our stocking, shiny little bits. And this was the shiniest one I could find, a nice 50p coin. And money. And our last verse reminds us that Jesus, who became flesh to make his dwelling among us, is actually God. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We're reminded in our prayers that we concentrate sometimes on Jesus the baby and forget about the man he grew up to be, and that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And this money, well, it reminds me that like everyone else, I too will have to bow my knee to him. We've been thinking, haven't we? Jesus the baby. But John reminds us he was a special baby, the Son of God, who reveals the Father to us. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Jesus has made known to us God the Father. Through him we can come to know God the Father. Christmas isn't just about a baby, but it's about a saviour, someone who has made God known. So we've seen some of the great truths taught and explained in this part of John's Gospel. By bringing along my stocking, I've revealed my presence to you, but I pray more importantly that God will reveal his presence to you today. As we sit, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Christmas season. We thank you again for sending Jesus to be born at Bethlehem, to be our Saviour. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy. In the year that is to come, we pray that you will help us to learn to be thankful for all that you have done for us, all the blessings that you pour out upon us. Help us to worship you with all of our hearts. We ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Redeemer. Amen.